Hey, if you're a new realtor or thinking about becoming one, real estate educator Caroline Boland has some advice for you. On today's episode of the Royal Palmcast, she offers that advice in the form of a top 10 list, the 10 things she thinks every new and aspiring realtor needs to know to become successful. So if you're ready to rock your career, listen up, starting right now.
You're listening to The Royal Palmcast, the show about all things real estate. From the production studios of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association in Fort Myers, Florida, here's your host, Jim Sandville.
Welcome to The Royal Palmcast. I'm your host, Jim Sandville, along with Jerry Johnson.
Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Jerry. We're coming to you from the studios of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association in beautiful and sunny Fort Myers, Florida. We are a show where we talk about real estate. We talk about every aspect of it. If you're a realtor, a home buyer, a home seller, homeowner, we talk about stuff you will be interested in. And we hope you share this information with your friends and tell them about the Royal Palmcast. We will be happy about that. So today, I want to jump right into our guest segment here because this is good stuff. This is one of the meatier shows that we will have done, I predict, just knowing what we're going to talk about.
But even if you're a vegetarian, it's the kind of meat that you can really sink your teeth into.
Yeah, this is for vegans. This is for pescatarians, fruitarians, whatever you are.
You got it.
Aspiring pit masters, even.
Yes, so you're all welcome. It's a big tent. It's a big tent, so come on in. But we're going to talk about the top 10 tips for beginning realtors and those who are thinking about becoming realtors. This is stuff you need to know and stuff that if you've been in the business for a while, I'll bet you're going to be saying, I wish that's true, but I wish I had known it when I started. Well, we're here to save the day for you. You're going to know this stuff before you even out of the gate. Caroline is our guest today. Caroline Boland. She's an educator here at RPCRA. Welcome, Caroline.
Great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, Caroline's also a realtor in Southwest Florida, and she is on the staff at Larson Educational Services, where she trains trainers to train realtors. So she knows her stuff. They trust her down at Larson's, and so do we, because she's an expert in all of this stuff.
Since you put it that way.
Oh, yeah. We're gonna tap right into it.
Yeah, and she's very engaged with the association, too, committees and such.
Yes, if you want to learn how to be successful, be like Caroline. Engage. And you'll get the job done every time. Caroline, you have been kind enough to prepare your top 10 list of things new realtors need to know about. And how do you want to handle this? You want to count them down Letterman style? Because you're from Indiana.
Yes, I am a Hoosier. I'm from Indiana. These aren't in any particular order, but you nailed it. In every aspect of my life, you know, we always, if I knew then what I knew now. But I know one of the areas that I was hesitant even in pursuing a real estate license is just there's so much I didn't know and had no one to really ask. And I probably did have someone to ask and didn't even know who they were. So here I am to say, hey, here are 10 areas that if I were contemplating this right now that I'd be thinking about. And again, no right or wrong answer, but, you know, the reality of what you're getting into and how you might want to get started.
Perfect. Okay, so let's jump right into the list this is good stuff. We'll go with number 10. Number 10, in no particular order of significance or importance.
It's of huge importance, but again, not in terms of our ordering here, but this is your ethical compass. Don't necessarily believe everything that happens in a real estate transaction is what you've seen on TV. Far from it. And luckily, when you join a realtor association, this is really the core, the premise of what allows you to call yourself a realtor is that you're upholding a code of ethics. You're going to be required to take this course frequently throughout your career, but engage. Go to the course. Ask questions. Read the realtor publications because they're often going to pose ethical dilemmas. And it's really, again, you're talking about someone's life here, talking about their life and their money and the railroad track, so to speak, is, you know, the legality of the business versus the ethics. And something might be legal, but it sure might be unethical.
What's an example of an ethical dilemma that you've seen?
A perfect example is you have both an ethical and a legal dilemma. This is actually both of a duty to disclose items that are any items that are unseen that may materially affect the value of the property. So if someone says, don't tell anybody, but you know, don't tell anybody, but, you know, we've got defective drywall in that fourth bedroom, but we painted over it, and it's A-okay. No, it's not okay. You have both a legal and an ethical requirement to disclose. Mm-hmm. There are discrimination aspects. Legally, there are protected classes in regards to discrimination, but the code of ethic goes beyond to say, as a realtor, you will not discriminate based on race, religion, color, sex, national origin, familial status, or handicap. But in addition to those federal requirements, the code of ethics says you're not going to discriminate based on gender or sexual orientation. Mm-hmm. You know, that's an example of, you know, you want to provide the best you have to everyone around you. And if someone wants to put you in a position to behave unethically for their gain, run. Mm-hmm. Run from that situation. You have way more to lose than that person
sure.
does.
So strong ethical compass is Absolutely. Required. What's your number nine tip?
Number nine, know your contracts. And your contracts would include your listing agreements with your sellers, your buyer brokerage agreements with your buyers, your sales contracts between buyer and seller, and your listing agreement, or excuse me, your independent contractor agreements with your brokers. There's plenty of places to get educated, but if you are asking someone, your customer, to sign a legally binding agreement, and you say to yourself, I don't even understand what half of this means, that seems pretty dangerous to me. You never want to put yourself in the shoes of an attorney or an accountant or anyone that you're not licensed to provide that advice, but I just find it shocking when people say, well, gee, do I need to understand this entire contract? Well, yeah, you're asking someone to sign it, and your customer is certainly expecting you to understand. Again, if that's intimidating to you, the good news is there's education for this everywhere. Mm-hmm. But take advantage of it and get it for mm-hmm. sure.
So know your contracts. And if you're in Florida, you already know the term FAR bar.
Correct.
Yeah, that's the most common contract used in real estate transactions.
Most common, but again, there's no legal requirement to use any specific contract. And our neighbors just to the south in Collier County, they use a contract called the NABOR contract. So again, no right, wrong, bad, or good, but get the appropriate education. And mm-hmm. another thing I will say, in Florida, I'm sure every state has this, another benefit of your Realtor Association membership is access to a legal hotline, which is, I'm not going to lie, the first time I called it, I felt like I was getting ready to call a customer service number. I've got a crossword puzzle. I've got water. I've got, you know, essential oils to keep myself calm. I think I'm going to be,
music.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, serenity now. And lo and behold, someone answered it and gave me a good advice, and I moved on. And again, it's a benefit you're paying for, but yeah. use it. They're a fabulous group there.
Yeah, I usually throw on an astronaut diaper for those calls too.
Exactly.
Because you don't know. You don't know how long you're going to be on hold. All right. That's number nine. Know your contracts. What is your number eight tip for new realtors?
Facts, not what you think, what you know. And your number one tool that you typically have access to once you join a brokerage is your multiple listing service. And this is the golden ticket. You know, this is your solds and your expireds and your properties for sale. Remember, your customers think they are working with a golden ticket, which they call Zillow. And, you know, I'm not here to denounce or support the validity of what you get from Zillow, but you have access to actual records of things that did happen.
Actual, factual stuff.
That yeah. were sold, your county appraiser sites, your court records. You know, there's wonderful, in this day and age, there's wonderful access to solid information. Use that as the basis for your talking points, not anecdotal stories, for sure.
All right. Maintain a state of factuality.
Yes.
All right. Good. All right. That was your number eight tip, right? So number seven is what?
Squeeze every bit of benefit out of your Realtor Association membership.
I love it.
You are paying for this. And it's not just to get your MLS access. Believe me, you have affiliate members, folks that come to meetings that are very vital to the success of your business. An affiliate member might be a lender, a home inspector, a contractor, a title professional. You're going to meet other professionals. This is the weirdest business in the world because real estate is the only product that I know that requires you to interact so well with your competitors.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But that's why we use the word cooperating brokerage. You know, I think when McDonald's is creating a new sandwich, they don't hurry up and call Wendy's and Burger King and say, hey, how do you like this? Do you feel okay about that? We have to work well with one another. The education and the experience. And the fun thing for most of us about real estate is it's a lot of moving parts. I've yet to have two transactions that are exactly the same. But you really need a team. No one person alone can do a real estate transaction. There's so many other vital folks to make this close or to get it to closing. And your association provides so much just in terms of you personally, the community, your position in the community. We do a lot of, there's fundraising, there's community involvement, there's workshops for new home buyers. You're meeting your folks, your cooperating brokerages, your collaborators. You know, the folks that you're going to see transaction to transaction. And then you may have opportunities to share with your association as well. So again, get every bit out of it and don't just look at it as an obligation. Look at it as you're a member. The membership should enhance your professionalism.
All right. Very cool. All right. Your next tip is number 6.
Your relationship with your broker. This is key. And it's a two-way relationship, but legally, you are representing the brokerage. You can only have a license with one broker at a time, and you are acting on behalf of that broker. The different brokerages for different folks. So right here in our own Realtor Association, I believe there are over 1,000 brokerages registered here. You've got to find your fit, but the communication has to be there, and your needs and your training, as well as that broker's expectation of what they get in return. I will just give you a brief example that when I was managing broker of another brokerage, one of the best sales associates, first of all, was a very successful producer, had worked in real estate darn near longer than I'd been alive, but this is somebody that came to me the most because he respected the broker sales associate relationship, asked a lot of questions that I can't ever recall one time correcting him on, but wanted this collaborative environment internally. But you know, the truth of the matter was, this guy was so smart. He was providing himself a path to a nice transaction and sleep. So we've talked about sleep, meaning anything that he thought was even remotely worthy of the broker knowing or the broker signing off on his file was complete. It wasn't a sign of weakness. He knew the answer. He knew what was going to say. But this guy just oozed professionalism up and down. And it had the bank account to show it. But it just the level of respect and how good I felt about what collaborative we were doing on behalf of the brokerage was gold. It's not a sign of weakness to go to your broker and say, I want to talk about something. I need help. I need advice. What do you think about this? If you feel the environment exists where it's not necessarily conducive to such a conversation, maybe it's not the right place for you.
But
and that's okay. That's A-OK.
Sometimes right out of the gate, you're going to get a really good fit, and it'll be a symbiotic relationship that works well for everybody.
Absolutely. It's an important decision to choose a broker, but eventually you do have to make the decision.
Now, from your experience, Caroline, how often do realtors move to a different brokerage?
I know folks that have been with one brokerage the entire ride, and I know folks that have changed 10-plus times. You know, it's there really isn't an answer to what is right or wrong. It's not, again, we're not in an employment environment, so it's not like, oh my gosh, if I don't stay 30 years, I'm not going to get the watch, you know, and the celebratory cake, you know. You've got to find the right fit. And many times the brokerage would agree with you that we're not the right fit for you. I've done that a million times, saying there's nothing wrong with you, you know, but I don't know if this is going to be the investment environment for your goals.
Not you, it's me.
That's right. We've all heard that before,
George
right?
Costanza
yeah, yeah, yeah. We have all heard that before.
Fun fact.
And we get over it. Yeah, we might pout for a little bit, but we get over it. But again, you want to keep the relationship professional. You will see each other again.
All right.
Period.
Gotcha. All right, Caroline, thank you. That's your first 5 tips. We've got 5 more, but we do need to take a very quick break, so we'll be right back after this.
Hi, this is Jerry Johnson, and you're listening to the Royal Palmcast.
Hi, I'm Kim Swanson. You're listening to the Royal Palmcast.
This is Ned Hale. You're listening to the Royal Palmcast. Southwest Florida is famous for its beautiful beaches and waterways. The Realtor Political Action Committee fights to protect those pieces of paradise. The environment is crucial to your business and the future of Southwest Florida as a whole. Investing as little as $20 in RPAC helps protect our home and promotes clean waterways and clean beaches. Protect our environment by investing in RPAC today. For more information or to invest, contact Kevin Besser, Director of Public Policy, at kevin@rpcra.org.
We hope you're enjoying the Royal Palmcast, a production of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association, your association for realtor resources, services, and education in Southwest Florida. We're committed to the success of all our members and advocate for property rights, both commercial and residential. We continue our efforts educating and influencing policymakers at all levels about issues important to realtors and homeowners. RPCRA also leads the way with community involvement, market analysis, and member engagement, all of which contribute to a superior realtor experience. With two convenient locations in Fort Myers and Cape Coral, the staff of RPCRA is here for you. You'll find us online at rpcra.org and across social media, including Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, SoundCloud, and all major podcast apps. Be sure to subscribe, like, share, and follow us to stay current on all our upcoming classes and events. Now, back to Jim Sandville and the Royal Palmcast.
Welcome back to the Royal Palmcast. I'm Jim Sandville along with Jerry Johnson.
Hello.
And we have Caroline Boland still with us here in the studio. Caroline, I'm glad to see you're still here.
I am.
You am. All right. Cool. All right. Caroline is an expert at realtoring, if that's a... You put that in a participle form. I don't...
As long as it's not relatoring.
We don't do that here. But we're talking to Caroline about some of her best tips for new realtors or even people who are thinking of becoming a realtor, because she teaches such people, and she teaches people who teach such people at Larson's Educational Services. So she knows her stuff, and we are going to get right into it with tip number 5 if you're a new realtor. Caroline, what is number 5?
Okay, drum roll, number 5, right? Post-licensing requirements. And this is one of my tips on don't look at this as a chore. Look at it as an opportunity to really say, okay, let's say you've gone through the basics, your basic licensing requirements, you've passed the test, you've passed the state exam. By your first renewal, you must complete 45 hours of post-licensing. That's either through an approved 45-hour course or pursuing a component of the GRI, the Graduate Realtor Institute designation. Embrace it. Pay attention to the topics, because these topics have now gone from, gee, what is the state going to ask me on a test, to what do I need to know to work in this business? And pay particular attention to the goal setting, the budgeting, the worksheets, if you will, meaning how do I set an income goal? Meaning if I have an income goal of X amount of dollars, how many houses do I have to sell? What's the average home selling for? How many appointments do I need to make? How many of those appointments are going to be canceled? You know, I mean, the reality. And if you struggle with that aspect of it, again, don't give up, but get help on how to make sense of it. Because if you're going to turn this into a viable business that supports you, you have to have income goals behind it. You cannot overlook the reality of that. And it is the reality. Do you support yourself? Do you support a family? What about the necessities of your reality? Does that include your need for health insurance or any other sort of benefits? Or do you have existing financial obligations? You know, jump into that right away, but embrace what is being offered. Don't just look at it as a course I have to take to fulfill yet another obligation.
All right. So I think we covered numbers 5 and 4 in that particular.
Well, I do want to mention, right? We were talking about personal goals, yeah, and options here, but referral income. And this is just a little hidden gem of real estate, which is, and this is just wide open to everybody in the United States. So I'm from the Northwest Indiana, Chicago area. So I have a cousin up there that says, gee, I think I'm going to buy a house. What do I need to do? And I said, well, first of all, you know how you're going to pay for it. I think I need to borrow some money. I said, okay, you go get pre-approved for a loan. Let me make a few phone calls. What am I doing? I'm down here in Florida. I'm not going to be able to show him houses in Illinois or Chicago, but you know what? Can I find a professional up there that will work with me as a referral to accomplish the buyer's needs, but then do I earn some commission off of that transaction? The answer is absolutely yes.
You do.
So there is a great source of, what I call it, passive income working in real estate. Let's say you're a good connector. Let's say you know folks all over the country. You want it to be known that, guess what? You can assist them in finding the appropriate real estate professional. So a lot of times people ask me in class, well, I don't know anyone in Chicago. I don't know anyone in LA. How am I going to find someone? Well, you know the questions to ask. You know to start making phone calls. You can gauge who's responsive, who's not. If you call someone and say, hey, I have a great friend that's looking to buy in LA. Would you be interested in talking to me? And they don't call you back. Well, that would tell me they don't deserve a second phone call, right? Mm-hmm. But put your skills, your expertise, the same type of communication you would expect incoming in your outgoing communication. And there is this, that's a tremendous source of income. So don't ignore the referral opportunities.
So it's not just a matter, though, of you saying, okay, here's a good lender, you're on your own, and Bob's your uncle, and I'm out of here.
No, absolutely not. When it comes to lending, just one of my tips is, you know, if someone asks you, hey, I need to be pre-qualified, I need this, I need that, you always want to give the customer several choices. You know, they are free to do the research on their own, but really what you want to do is be proactive. You don't want to give your customer an assignment. You want to perhaps contact a professional yourself and say, I'd like you to talk to this guy and see if you can help him out. It furthers it along. But when you're looking at a referral income, you're just using your expertise to match your sphere of influence, as we call it, the people in your circle that maybe are not physically in your circle because they're out of state, but provide the best professional experience that you can from afar. And again, that all boils down to communication.
So what might be a typical setup with referral income? A percentage?
Well, all commission is negotiable. That's something you learn in the early days of real estate because it's all subject to antitrust rules. So there's no such thing as a standard commission or a typical commission or a common commission. It's all negotiable among the parties. If it weren't, it would be very unfair to the public, sure. And that would be an antitrust violation, which puts you into hot water with the feds. And right. Nobody wants that. So there is no such thing. Well, it's whatever you can negotiate.
Working just in round numbers, if, for example, it was 10% was the total realtor side of the equation. So the broker's getting 5 typically.
What is very important to understand is there is no such thing. I know it's a frustrating topic, but it really is an individual conversation you have with your broker. But you need to be very clear. If you take an expectation, you know, if a home sells for X amount of price and there's a certain amount of commission associated with the sell, how much of that goes to the broker? How much of that goes to you? If it's a referral, another percentage comes out. You've got to get the calculator on. Mm-hmm. It's definitely a math problem. But the bottom line is I always look at referral income is just an absolute bonus because really you're doing all the work from your phone.
Yeah.
You're just providing your professional expertise. And we all know someone somewhere, and especially this day and age, there's no shortage of ways to instantly communicate. So maybe your sphere of influence has nothing to do with where you're physically located right now, but you can create a good income for yourself by being a connector, by being a networker.
That sounds good.
It is.
Wow, very cool. All right, that was number 4. Your number 3 tip for new realtors.
Personal and work balance. And this is difficult regardless of what profession you're in, but balance is always a slippery slope here. And there can be a tendency in real estate because, again, you're commission-driven. You only earn what you close. Don't forget about your family. Don't forget about your other goals. And you want to schedule time for yourself to include what's important to you personally as well as professionally. And sometimes you might have to say no. You might have to say no personally, or you might have to say no professionally, but pay attention to this aspect of things. This can be tough for anybody in the independent contractor or sales environment. You know, you reap what you sow, you know, and if the market's red hot, that might say, okay, I got to be out there every day, go, 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 go. But if it comes at a personal cost to you, you know, everything has a consequence. So this is why it's important to keep the conversation going. Ask for help and support of folks around you, other professionals, those in your brokerage, or people that you know have been in the same shoes. But it's important to pay attention to.
I agree. Yeah, that work-life balance is so important
yes.
to maintaining some equilibrium in your life. In fact, I've been known to stop a podcast to take a call from my wife. Which may or may not have happened 20 minutes ago.
As I am a wife myself, not your wife, but I am a wife to someone, I would say that was a good move.
Yeah. You see, Soraya, we're taking care of you.
Yeah, that happy wife, happy life thing is no joke.
Yeah, seems to work for me.
There you go. You're a wise man.
So personal and work balance, life balance, very important. That was number three. Your number two tip for new realtors.
Should I join a team? The team concept is very big right now. So what that means is, well, I'm new, and this brokerage is saying, hey, you can be part of the team, and you can learn, and we'll share our business with you and all that stuff. And you're thinking, that sounds great. Well, it might be great. Not saying it's not. But again, it's time to get the pen, the paper, and the calculator out and say, you know, what is the cost of joining this team? What is the breakdown? You know, it all starts with a big number and filters down. And then what if you get to a point where you're generating business? Are you supposed to share your business now with the team? Again, I've stressed this over and over. No right or wrong answer, but go in with eyes wide open and ask questions and ask for certain scenarios. Ask for recommendations or ask for, give me an example of the last few transactions and how did that break down for the team member? Mm-hmm. And again, the broker should be, and there's specific advertising requirements, at least here in the state of Florida regarding teamwork, but you want to be very clear about your compensation and what-if scenarios. And my advice is, if you can think it, it could happen. So it's definitely worth presenting to the team.
Very cool. The number one tip is coming up. Jerry, do you feel the anticipation?
Oh, it's building. I can't wait.
This is big. Now,
my pins and needles.
We should point out that these, as we mentioned at the beginning of the show, are in no particular order. So, but this one is big. I know it is. What is your number one tip?
The number one tip is actually personal to me because I think of myself, and this is not an exaggeration. I kicked around getting involved in real estate for 20 years.
Kicked around for 20 years.
20 years, beginning with my very first purchase when I was a young single woman to my last purchase, which was bringing a family to Florida as part of a big relocation. What really stood in my way in the 20 years that I had thought about getting a real estate license, and that is the word fear. And I think about myself now, and I think about myself then, and I think about any obstacle I've encountered, and I think for most of us, fear of the unknown, it's a biggie. It was presented to me one time, and this sentence has stuck with me. You're probably going to regret more the things you don't do versus the things that you do. And I kind of had a hard talk with myself when I walked up to career night at Larson Ed. And there was a big part of me thinking, you got to be kidding me. How old are you? And you're going to a career night?
So this is after you had taken the class?
No, this is before. This was when I decided once we moved to Florida, okay, I see a real estate school here. And there's a little sandwich board up front that says career night tonight.
Oh, okay.
And I said, I'm going to go listen. And there was a big part of me thought, oh my gosh, really? How old am I? I'm going to a career night. But then, be straight. They're probably going to have cookies and coffee, so I'll check it out. But I was saying to myself, if I don't do this now, get it out of your head, because you've got to try. And if you don't do it, you know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Absolutely nothing. And my option was, if I don't do this, then I'm saying to myself, you better go find yourself a job. And you know how you feel about jobs. And I'm not, believe me, folks, employers out there, I am not down on jobs. I'm not down on employment. I get it. But I thought, I know my pattern. And don't I owe it to myself at this age to say, I'm going to try to do something that I'm interested in. And yeah, I have an income expectation. And there was probably that expectation was probably fueled by, I have three young kids and they're going to be in the workforce sooner rather than later. And my number one goal for my kids is I really want them to enjoy what they're doing. And I wanted to be an example of, she tried something. She tried something new. She worked hard at it. And in terms of goal setting, I'll be straight up. I think I've shared my first goal was to sell one house. That's how you know, highly motivated I was. But once I sold one and once I sold two, I'm like, all right, all right, this is what I'm going to do. And I've taken the license in several different ways. I am an employee now. I am an employee of Larson Ed, and I do provide classes and a role there. But I still am involved in real estate as an independent contractor. Once I realized, yeah, you can do this, my goal seriously was to get all three of these kids through college without a student loan. And I could honestly say, once I set a goal to that and was focused on that, they're all three are not done yet, but there is light at the end of that tunnel. And I think often, what would have happened if I hadn't taken the chance? And there is a big part of me that wants the personal degree of control. And I recommend to anyone out there, there's a whole lot to think about. You've got to go in eyes wide open. But if you're thinking about it, you've got to try. And fear will confront you so many places in your life. So once you do that, I hear this all the time in class. Well, what if I have my first transaction and somebody asks me something I don't know? And I laugh and I say, people ask me things I don't know every single day. Mm-hmm. And my answer is the same. Great question. But I'm going to find out for you. And I'm going to find out for you. And I'm going to get back to you by, say, 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. Yeah. And the responsibility, yes, is for me to be a person of my word. Mm-hmm. And once I establish to you, I'm a person of my word, our relationship's going to be just fine. Mm-hmm. People are going to ask us things we don't know all day long. And that's the fun of real estate. Mm-hmm. You never know what's going to happen next. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But again, this is kind of a biggie, you know, your own personal risk and reward and fear. And I think back to that. I would say maybe make that decision or make that leap in less than 20 years, which is what it took me. But you know what? I did it. Mm. So and so far, my goal for my kids, other than, you know, their educations, is I want each of them to have a real estate license. I don't care if they ever sell real estate to another person, but the personal knowledge that you benefit from is priceless. Mm. And so far, I'm 2/3 of the way there. I've got one more to go to get licensed, and we're good. But, you know, don't be afraid.
Yeah.
That's my number one tip.
Getting it done. We
absolutely
are so happy that you faced your fears, because the real estate world is better for it.
Oh, thank you. That's
you
awfully kind. Thank you.
You bring a lot to the local real estate scene, and hopefully to a national or international real estate audience through this podcast. So thank you very much, Caroline, for all the information.
I thank you, and I wish everyone listening out there the absolute best.
Absolutely. All right. Hey, Jerry, thank you, too.
No, thank you, Jim.
Wonderful job. Wonderful job, as always. I also want to thank Beata Jones. She is our CEO, and she's very supportive. And by the way, Caroline, how can people get in touch with you if they want to follow up?
Easy. Caroline, CAROLINE, at Larson, LARSONED, LarsonEd.com. If that escapes you, contact the Realtor Association here in Fort Myers, or just send a note to either of the J's, and they'll get it to me, and we'll chat for sure.
That's right. That's Jim or Jerry.
That's right. The double J's.
Jim at rpcra.org or Jerry at the same address.
That's right.
But if you have show questions, you want to give us some feedback, suggest some guests or topics, we would love to hear from you there as well. And you can send an email to shows@rpcra.org. We'll be happy to hear from you. All right. That's the end of this show, sadly. And I hear the music coming up. So that tells me it's time to go. Thanks again, everybody. And thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Royal Palmcast. Be sure to listen again each week. Share and subscribe on your favorite podcast app or YouTube. And be sure to check out our sister podcast, Realtor Riff Rap, and our video news show, Realtor's Corner, which can be found on the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association Facebook page and YouTube channel. For information about sponsorship opportunities for this and other RPCRA productions, email us at shows@rpcra.org. This has been a production of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association.